We're going to talk about fasting today. It's point number 7 there on page 13. The discipline of fasting. So with the decline of the inward reality of the Christian faith, there developed an increased tendency to focus on the outward material life. Eating has become a major problem in our day.
Yes.
That's right, yes. The traditional focus on the outward material, sorry, I skip a line here. The traditional understanding is that you need to eat several times a day to keep your body well nourished. While this may be true to some extent, it's also true that you sometimes need to fast a day or more to give your digestive tract some time to rest and to allow your body to be cleansed of toxins of modern food. However, we are not discussing fasting for health reasons here. There will be, of course, health benefits if you fast for any period of time, but we're not looking down that path today. So our view is fasting to draw closer to God. When you fast for spiritual reasons, you do not pursue some health benefits at the same time. Fasting is about drawing close to God and to give Him all your time and attention. The focus is therefore entirely on Him when you fast. So you can stay without food for quite a long time before starvation sets in, but we do not advise to stay without water for any reason whatsoever, even though we read in the Bible of some fasts where people had nothing to eat or drink. So we're not going to go down that route. There's a lot of medical dangers there if we try to do that. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the desert after his baptism.
40 days.
Yeah, it's long. But we have a friend that was a missionary with us, and he used to start off every year with a 40-day fast. 40 days every year.
Only water.
Only water, yeah. I don't know if he still does it, but every year he did his 40-day fast. Didn't eat anything at all.
Did he suffer from any weakness or anything?
No.
He had all of his energy and everything?
Right, yeah. No problem at all.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We don't really need to eat a lot. Although I must say that you have to take into account your own health. Because if you're not healthy, you shouldn't attempt this. And at a certain age, I think if you're on the downhill side of 60, maybe this is not for you.
Intermittent fasting will be good.
Yeah, we're talking for health reasons now. Mm-hmm. Intermittent fasting is when you skip a meal or you stop eating, let's say, 8 o'clock in the evening, and then you won't eat till at least 12 o'clock the next day. So you really basically skip breakfast.
It's a discipline. You discipline your body. So there is some advantage apart from the, the food, lack of food.
Yeah. But what about, like, fasting for this purpose is spiritual? The intermittent fasting is not what we're talking about.
It's more
about
a disciplinary action, that one.
Yeah. That is only for health reasons.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you want to dedicate the morning to devotion, that would be great. The entire morning. And skip meals, there'll be a benefit to that for sure, yeah. We'll get into that, you'll see. You can stay without food for quite a long time before starvation sets in, but we do not advise to stay without water, of course, all right. So throughout Scripture, we read about fasting that is meant to abstain from food for spiritual purposes. When Jesus fasted for those 40 days, he ate nothing, but after 40 days, he was hungry. Daniel had a partial fast, abstaining only from pleasant food. So we read about Daniel 10, verse 2 and 3, for 3 weeks. So we know what happened there in the book of Daniel. The king, they were in Babylon, and the king wanted to train some young people to serve him in his court. And of course, Daniel and his friends were believers in God, and the king was not. So they did not want to participate in all the king's delicacies and all of that. They abstained for 3 weeks. And so there's a partial fast. So I see today that people do, they fast social media, which has become an issue today. And they say, I see a lot of people on X say, I'm going to be off for 10 days because I'll be fasting social media. So they don't do any social media at all, which is a good thing. There's a lot of spiritual toxin in social media these days. Stuff that, you know, it's really, really tiresome to just see what's going on. Scripture also mentions a total fast. When the Jews were in a desperate situation at the time of Esther, she instructed Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink, for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So if you know the book you know the story about Esther, how she was a Jewish girl, but she was with a pagan king in his harem. And they were not allowed to come before the king unless they were called. But there was a threat against the Jews to annihilate them all. And so they found that she's the only one who had access to the king. And they'll send her in to try and see if she could do something about the situation. And this is what she said, I'll go. It's against the law, I might die, but I'll take the chance for the nation, I'll take it. But I'm going to fast for 3 days, and I'm asking you to fast also. So this is a 3-day fast through the nation. They were in exile at that time. And everybody fasted for 3 days, so neither drink or eat, because they were going to be annihilated. And sure enough, that whole situation was turned around. Very interesting to read that whole thing in context. How God turned the whole thing around on this guy, Haman, who instigated this genocide, he's the one that got killed in the end. So after Saul, who became Paul, met Jesus on the road to Damascus, we read about him in Acts chapter 9. He was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. So,
what does that mean, without sight?
He couldn't see because what happened was he persecuted the church big time. They were scared of him. And so he was on the road to Damascus and to persecute the Christians there. That's what he was going to do. And then suddenly, when he drew close to Damascus, a light from heaven shone upon him, and he fell. And Jesus spoke with him and said to him, it's hard for you to kick against the goats, which is a sharp stick that they drive cattle with. And so, I mean, it was a major turnaround in his life. I can imagine, and then he couldn't see after that. They had to lead him, and then a very beautiful story there in Acts chapter 9, how God sent somebody, I don't know if Ananias, to go find him and pray for him so that he could see. His sight was restored. But he couldn't see for 3 days. He sat there. You know, that must have been some experience. And he didn't eat or drink. I think I would do the same thing because you have no clue what's going on. And that is where Paul, his life changed, and he became one of the most eminent apostles. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And that's where that changed. So here we go. We recommend that you only engage in a total fast, that is going without food and water, upon clear instructions from God. Know that abstaining from water can have serious consequences for your health. So there you go. In most cases, fasting is a private matter between yourself and God. There is also a place for a corporate fast. A church-wide fast can be a wonderful experience, provided there is a prepared people who are of one mind in the purpose of the fast. The King of Britain once called a national day of fasting because of a threat of invasion by the French. John Wesley recorded the event in his journal on February 6, 1756. He said, "The fast was a glorious day, such as London has scarce seen since the Restoration. Every church in the city was more than full, and a solemn seriousness sat on every face. Surely God heareth prayer, and there will yet be a lengthening of our tranquility." In a footnote he wrote, "Humility was turned into a national rejoicing, for the threatened invasion by the French was averted." We had that in South Africa many, well, not many times, but as we grew up, it's a very dry country. There are months where no rainfalls. It's very, very dry. And so, of course, farmers cannot produce food. It's a huge problem for the entire nation. So when that happened, the prime minister would call a day of prayer, a national day of prayer. And then everybody had to close the businesses, and everybody, those who believed, was allowed to go to church at a certain time of the day. And we went and prayed for rain. And I remember that while we were in the church, it started raining.
Wow.
We were still in the church, it started raining. So that happened quite a few times. To us, it became like a normal thing. That's what you do when there is no rain. The president or the prime minister will call a day of prayer, and that changed the situation. We have no direct command from the Lord to fast, mainly because it was a regular practice in those days. The Pharisees fasted twice a week, and the disciples of John complained about the disciples of Jesus who did not fast, while they themselves did. So there are scripture references there if you want to look them up. The only strong direction from the Lord concerning fasting is found in Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, and we quote them here. It says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting." So they want people to see they're miserable, you know, they're fasting. "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face." So in modern terms, it will say to the ladies, "Put on your makeup and look good." "So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly." So when you fast, you go about your day. You don't have to tell anybody. Of course, those who live with you will know. And it's not necessary to tell anybody, because it's not their business. is between God and yourself. It's your day of devoting your time to Him and seeking His face. It's not. I must say that fasting is not a hunger strike. It's not a hunger strike. We're trying to force God's hand to do things for it. That's not what it is. It's more we humiliate ourselves. We humble ourselves in the presence of God and draw close to Him. Because we have, we sense a need in ourselves, in our hearts, to draw close to God. And that's the motivation. Now, sometimes when there's a big problem, like a drought, as I just mentioned, or sickness, there's sickness, and we're praying for that person's healing. And we might say, well, let's fast while we pray. So we dedicate all that time to prayer and fasting. Firstly, note that Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. So it was clearly a regular practice at that time. Secondly, it should be a matter between man and God, not to be boasted of like the Pharisees did. They made sure everyone saw their dedication, but it became their only reward. Thirdly, there's a reward on fasting when you do it with pure motivations. Fourthly, fasting means going to the secret place with God. It is a sacrificial drawing near to God, setting some time and pleasures aside to give your full attention to seek His face. And that is what fasting is all about. That is the whole reason for it. It should be understood that fasting is not a means to put pressure on God to perform, like people who fast with an agenda in mind. Fasting to draw close to God is a sacrifice that you make in order to give yourself wholly to Him. Fasting must always center on God. Anna, the prophetess over in the New Testament now, worship God with fasting. We read about this in Luke 2, verse 37, where after Jesus was born and the baby was brought into the temple to be dedicated, one of the names that was mentioned there was Anna, the prophetess. And it says there that she worshiped God with fasting, as did the believers in Acts 13 and verse 2. Let's go there. We haven't read a lot. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And we read from verse 1. It says, now in the church there were, that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon was called, Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So that's where they started their missionary journeys, Barnabas and Paul. So it happened with fasting and prayer. It's not something that is lightly done. Quite contrary to the way things are done today. Right there in the first church, that was a very serious matter, and they spent some time praying and fasting about it before somebody was recognized and sent out to do anything. Spurgeon was, and actually still is, one of the best known theologians, wrote a lot of books, is a very well known person. So if you're into Christian literature, you'll definitely come across Spurgeon. And this is what he wrote. Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer to the central glory. Note how God questioned the people in Zechariah. You see, that's what happened when he called the church fast. Everybody in the church fasted. And they spent some time at the church worshiping and praying and that type of thing. And it does bring a spiritual experience, if I can put it that way, of the nearness of God, at least to some extent, when you do that. It certainly is very edifying. It builds you up spiritually. And you leave built up, confident, and strong. It does something to you. It certainly does something to you and for you. So note how God questioned the people in Zechariah 7, verse 5. And I just quote there, it says, "Say to all the people of the land and to all the priests, when you fasted, did you really fast for me? Fasting fails when it is not done to seek the Lord. No additional physical benefit should feature at all." John Wesley wrote, "First, let fasting be done unto the Lord with our eyes singularly fixed on him. Let your attention be on this, and in this alone, to glorify our Father which is in heaven. That is the only way we will be saved from loving the blessing more than the blesser." And that is a very important matter, because I think too many Christians love the blessing more than the blesser from whom the blessings come. And yes, a little interesting note. Fasting reveals hidden things that control us. You cover what is inside of you with food and other pleasures. But in fasting, these things come to the surface. If pride controls you, it will be revealed almost immediately, because fasting is to humble yourself before God. So that's one thing that, especially when you fast for a few days or a week or so, there'll be big changes inside of you. So there will be big changes inside of you. You'll come to see things in a different light and understand things in a different way, that's for sure. Fasting for a few days can be a little tough on the body, for the first while at least. But when you look at the spiritual benefits, there are many.
Would it be a good thing to maybe start out with a one-day fast and then work your way up to multi-day fast?
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm rushing you.
That's a good question.
I have a question, too.
Sure.
It says, "Let our intention be in this and this alone, to glorify the Father which is in heaven." Because when I thought that people fasted, they fasted because they wanted a prayer answered. So we're not fasting for the prayer to be answered. We're fasting solely on to glorify the Father in heaven.
No, we just mentioned Esther.
Okay.
There was a major prayer request coming up from the entire nation. So sure enough, that is to dedicate all their time and attention to bring their petition before God. That is perfect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But then you have a fast way for the sole purpose of drawing close to God and building a relationship with Him. Long fasts of up to 40 days only became rare in recent times. Men and women in search of a closer walk with the Lord had a habit of fasting regularly, and it showed in their lives. These were men and women that made a difference and left spiritual legacies that benefit us even to this day. Tragically, it seems that education took the place of this sacred place before God. leading to the spiritual poverty that marks our day. So, yeah, that is unfortunately true. There's nothing wrong with education, of course, but if the spiritual drawing close to God is not part of it, then it's not going. It's only going to be a mental thing. It's not going to be a spiritual thing. It's going to be mental only, and that's not going to help anybody. Difficult days await us as we approach the end of the church era. Already we see the world preparing for the tribulation period by introducing controls that describe life on earth during those dreadful years. I mean, we talk about it. We see these things happen. The world is heading there fast. I mean, all the systems are in place. There's nothing that still needs to be developed. It's all already there and available, up and running. So things are moving very fast. So
Well, we might all be forced to fast with the food shortages that they're finding.
Yeah.
Can you explain the tribulation just a little too, Christine?
The Bible talks about a period of 7 years where they will be a lot of, if I can just put it this way, a lot of trouble on the earth, like hunger, starvation, genocide, especially control of every aspect of your life by what the Bible calls the Antichrist. And we already see that in motion because the mechanism to control our lives. What we eat, we begin to see that. What we eat, what we don't eat, and all that stuff. What you can do, and the lockdowns and all of that. These are all preparing us for something else that's coming. So the Bible talks about a period of 7 years that will be extreme, brings extreme hardship on the earth. That's a tribulation period. And we expect that to happen within a few years now. Just looking at what the Bible gives for signs that will precede that period. The Bible gives us very accurate and clear things that will happen before that period kicks in. And we already begin to see those things happening around us. So our dark days are coming, and drawing close to God is going to be something that we will have to do if we want to make it through, that's for sure. Let's quickly look at points to ponder. Fasting is a private matter between man and God. Fasting reveals hidden things that control us. Fasting is a regular practice on of the Christian life. Consider times of a total fast, a partial fast, a last of social media and entertainment and so on. So let's look at some practical things. Now, we need some good information before we go on a fast. I just want to say that there are health risks. And when you plan a fast, there are some things that you need to do, and maybe more than we give you here. So we just give a few tips here, but maybe you need to do some more research before you start on if you plan to fast. It is always beneficial to precede a fast with a day or two of eating only fresh fruit and drinking fruit juices and or water only. And that is to get the toxins out of your body. The most difficult time of fast is the first 3 days. Because you have a habit of eating at certain times. And sometimes we only eat because it's a habit. We're not really hungry. We just eat because it's time to eat. and so that's why we eat. And the food that we eat today, you know it yourself, has a lot of toxins in them. And the first, when you stop eating, and especially when you eat fresh fruit and fresh fruit and vegetables, that's going to get those toxins out of you. It will detox you. And that's what brings on the headaches and all of that. It's very, it can be very difficult.
Can you drink coffee?
Some fast say yes.
Some say yes. Some say coffee actually also detoxes you if you don't go with too much. But it has some detox.
It's just, you talk about headaches.
Yes.
I know if I don't drink coffee in the morning because my body has become accustomed to it,
yes.
It can cause headaches.
Then, yeah, they will be with withdrawal symptoms, even if you're a heavy tea drinker. There'll be symptoms.
Is it from the caffeine?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also all kinds of herbicides and who knows what that they put on these plants. And we get it into our systems. It's not good for us. So when you go, especially fresh fruit and vegetables, that will detox you. And especially if you juice, only juice. We think more of juicing. If you juice, only go on juices and not solid food. That's going to help you to detox pretty fast.
But you're not talking about juice that comes in a carton.
No. There are too many additives and stuff.
No, you need to juice fresh. Yeah. And so then you'll find that, the headaches, especially headaches, come. And that's going to be a problem in the first few days, depending on how many toxins.
But after that, you feel good, man. Really good.
Yeah. Then, if you can go through, it lasts about, in general, it may be less or a little more, but in general, it lasts about 3 days. Then it goes away. And then you begin to feel good. And you're not hungry. You may be hungry in the first few days because you're breaking that habit. And it helps to eat. It will help with headaches and all that miserable feeling. So that's a difficult time, the first few days. But after that, 3 days, it goes away. You feel good. You may feel cold a little bit. But you'll feel good, you won't be hungry, and you can go on. Then you can go on.
And your mind is clear.
Your mind is clear. It's actually a pretty good thing to do physically. So the reason why we're dealing with this aspect now is when you draw close to God, when you fast for spiritual reasons, you have to deal with the physical issues too. It's going to be there. And it can be difficult. So it's always good if you plan a long fast to start with a 1 day fast first, see how you handle it. And then when you go prepare to go longer, is go with fresh juices and fruits and things and just scale down the eating. And then you go. So the first 3 days will be difficult. I fasted for, I've never fasted very long, but I fasted for 3 days a few times. And I didn't have the headaches for that. I didn't have a lot
of... But I think it also depends on your general eating habits, your general diet. If you don't eat, if you eat pretty healthy, the fast will be easier.
Yes.
But if you indulge on all these nasty stuff and fast foods and everything... It will be
hard. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. It's going to be hard.
Because of the release of the toxins.
Yes. So the thing that makes it difficult is toxins. To get it out of your system.
So in biblical times, they didn't have to deal with that.
No.
So doing a longer fast for them was
I think it was easier.
It was easier, yeah.
Plus they didn't over eat like we did.
Yes, that too.
If you don't over eat, it's easier to fast.
Right.
Yes.
Because I fast.
Yeah.
It's easy because I don't overeat.
If you plan, let's say you plan to fast for a week, you scale down the portions that you eat and only eat healthy, fresh and make it easier. And then when you begin to fast and stop eating altogether, that's going to be a lot easier.
I think your preparation time is longer than what the actual fast will be.
Yeah.
Because when you really hit that actual fast, then it's really time to look at God, you know.
Yeah, so if you prepare for the fast,
yeah,
by changing your eating habits and going fresh and scaling down the portions and so on, it'll be a lot easier.
Remember when I did that fast recently? I did not prepare. I just, you know, started the fast. And by the third day that evening, he thought he had taken
to the hospital. I was getting ready to take her to the hospital. Yeah.
And you eat very well.
But I have a problem with my body.
Oh, okay.
The second day at night is the hard part for me. The second night.
And Gabby, you're on a schedule with your eating, correct? Pretty much.
Well, there's a lot of things I don't eat.
I mean, you're scheduled out for like breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
What do you mean by schedule?
Do you eat a breakfast every day?
You need,
yeah,
you
I
need.
Eat, I eat one little
every
thing.
Day.
Eat, yeah,
supper every day.
Yeah.
Okay. My suggestion is leave off breakfast,
mm-hmm,
at first. Not do a 24-hour, okay? So let's say you eat at 6 o'clock in the evening. You know, my theory is try to eat before dark. I don't eat after dark. Okay, so if you eat at like 6 o'clock in the evening, then try to skip breakfast and maybe eat it later, like 10 or 11, and see how well you handle it before you go to a 24-hour. Because that,
yes,
is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10. At 10 o'clock in the morning, you're looking at 16 hours of fasting. That's a long period for you,
mm-hmm,
because you eat on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And breakfast is usually the hardest because you're looking for that after dinner, after the night.
You're breaking the fast.
Yes.
It's break
and then
fast.
When you break a fast, you need to break it with something healthy like an avocado that's rich in fat. And let that get into your system before you eat other stuff. So break your fast healthy, not with sugar, not with anything else, but something very fatty.
Cheeseburger.
That's going to
no,
help get back in your system something natural, not, you know, just junk or whatever.
Yeah. I
love
junk.
If you go on a, let's say, on a long fast, then they suggest that you break the fast with juices, fresh juices,
yeah,
first.
Yeah.
And little bits, not a lot.
And you can get fresh juices in Chilam, right? There's some places,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, everywhere, yeah. That's the advantage
Central
of being in
Bermuda's,
Mexico, because
Bermuda's,
you don't get that.
Everything fresh. If you want to go in there and just buy a thing of fresh whatever juice, I like it. But I make my own jamaica juice. So if you want to go in there and buy it, she sells it by the liter.
Okay.
Fresh.
Yeah, it's when you talk about it for health reasons, then I would strongly recommend you buy yourself a juicer. They're not expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And do it regularly.
I make my own juice.
Yeah, we have one too.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
which is what I put in. Yeah.
But when you've been, let's say, on a fast for a week or so, you have to be careful how you break it. You start with juices only, and little bits, not a whole glass at a time.
So the thing is, when you're diabetic, they,
yes,
tell you not to drink juice.
Yeah, no, you should not take a fast, to be honest.
Well, I'm not diabetic anymore, but that my whole,
right,
way of thinking for the last how many years has been don't drink juice because,
yeah,
there's no fiber in it and it's all you get is the sugar.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, fresh versus...
We can do like carrot or carrot,
yeah,
and celery.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
other,
yeah, I put cucumber and put, like,
yeah,
spinach. Like, you can put anything you want.
Yeah.
Carrot juice is really
good. And if you have blood
good
sugar issues, then you shouldn't fast.
Well, that is amazing to me that here in Mexico, you can order carrot juice with your food, you know.
Right.
It is amazing. You,
mm-hmm,
you don't find that up north.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. You don't find much good in the U.S. at all.
Imagine Canada, huh?
So, so this whole thing about fasting is there are two issues. The first one is we mainly fast for spiritual reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you will have practical issues to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
and that might hinder you. So you're going to find when you have this headache beating you up for the first day or two, it's going to be very hard to
go on with it.
To draw close to God, or I mean, you're going to deal with this headache, it's going to be a problem. You have to overcome that first before there's going to be any spiritual benefits. I just want to say that. But it's okay to fast for a day or fast a meal, you know, and separate yourself.
Or fast, as you said, social media or TV or things that you really like. Fast that.
We need to. Yeah. Social media has become an issue.
So when you say social media, you're not talking about like Spotify, where you're listening to to biblical things or whatever. No. You're talking about like Facebook, X, Instagram. You know, those things.
That,
okay.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, it's not everything on my phone.
People poison your mind. Need a mental detox.
You know, we've never been like this before, but lately it is, as you know, we get most of our information from X because you cannot trust the mainstream media anymore.
Mm.
And but sometimes it is so toxic on there that you feel like, you know, you get negative, you know, and that's what we mean by fast, all that stuff.
Just you know, looking where the world is heading, Christians will have to put in some effort to, I don't want to say withdraw from the world because that would be wrong, but we need to draw closer to God.
Yes.
We will have no choice. It's going to be hard to, you know, it's going to be hard to keep a cool head even. You know, even now, when you see what's being planned and what's being done and all the lies and the corruption that's going on, it's hard to process all of it, and it angers you. And so we get to a point where we have to force ourselves to look past those things and begin to look to God, because He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He had it all written down for us. We know exactly what to expect and focus there. Because that's where our future is. But if we're going to look at these things, we'll be as lost as everybody else out there.
And that's what I said the other day on Simple Church on the Telegram. You know, there's nobody out there that you can trust anymore, whether it's liberal or Democrat or conservative, it doesn't matter. The
politics.
Only constant we have is Jesus.
That's the only one. There'll be nothing good coming from politics, for sure.
No. And they will not be able to save the world.
And they all control. They're all being controlled by this big, big, big group that is doing what it's doing. And their agenda is working pretty well.
And behind all of that is Mr. Satan himself. And, you know, and as we say, it's not against...
It's hard to expect of people who created the mess to fix it.
Yeah, you can't.
One thing that we can do with social media, we can...
Be the light.
Be the light,
yes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I know that Trish does it a lot, you do it a lot, you post things... And, you know, we set an example.
Right.
And there's a lot of hate.
Yeah.
But, you know, I posted a little bit of scripture and somebody said, well, I know that. I didn't need a Bible, but the Bible to tell me. You know, it's like, well, next time, if you don't like it, just scroll by. You know,
you don't have to comment.
You don't have to comment on it. And you don't have to be hateful about it.
Or just say, I don't tell you what you post on your page, so don't tell me what I post on mine.
Yeah.
Well, I did get an apology, but, you know.
But they will persecute
you. I had to stand up for
it. Yeah, it says in the Bible, they're going to persecute you. You're going to be hated.
But that doesn't mean that we stop.
No. Social media is the easiest platform for a Christian to reach other Christians.
I think we need to see the internet as a mission field.
Yeah.
Because everybody's... is that's where everybody is.
Part of the ministry.
And they sit there all day on their phones and their, you know, and they participate in social media, and that's where you reach them.
But the thing is, we have to withdraw, just like Jesus withdrew from the people and he went alone on a mountain and he prayed. We need to withdraw from time to time and fast and pray and get ourselves all patched up together, because when you go out there, it's war.
Right.
And they injure you and they do all those things to you, and then we need to withdraw. And that's part of the disciplines, what we're talking about.
So this whole thing about disciplines that we work through here, and that's the focus, is to draw close to God and to build a relationship with Him, build our faith, and clear our minds, so that not only that we will have hope, but we can also be beacons of hope to others who are confused and scared, and that we can be there to help them. But we can't help ourselves. We can't help anybody else either. So it is our responsibility in these days to build ourselves to a place where we become strong in our faith and in our resolve, and that we will not be moved by what we see and by what we hear. That is how we're going to win. Because if you look, you look at politicians out there, you know, vote for this one, vote for that one. You know, the moment they got voted in, that's when they change. You know, they got paid off or manipulated, who knows. And then they're off into a different direction. There's no hope in politics. There's no hope in politics. Our only hope is God. And it's not that it's a bad hope. That's a good, solid hope.
Yes, that's the best.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all of us coming together and getting stronger in the Word, getting stronger in doing what we need to do to make ourselves strong against what's facing us this next year and in the future. Dear Lord, I thank you for Johan and Gerda coming and him going over things with us so that we know exactly what we need to do in the future to make us strong Christians. We ask that you help us, guide us, and direct us in our prayers, in our fasting, as we approach that. Dear Lord, just make us stronger in you, love you more, get closer to you, so that when things happen, that we can say, no, that is not us. This is what we need to be doing. We need to be strong with you, Lord. Lord, I ask a deep prayer for Bruce Loader. He and his girlfriend bought a home here, Angie Skelton's home, and she died unexpectedly. Katie died unexpectedly Monday. She was only 50 years old, and Bruce and the family are just broken. I pray deeply for those people, Lord. They are hurting so bad. She was a sweet, loving person, and I was looking forward to getting to know her even better, but she was so sweet, the little bit that I did know about her. So be with that family, Lord, and others that are hurting also. There are several that all of us know that are hurting in certain ways that have lost people this year. Lord, I just ask that you just be with us, guide and direct us this week. Help when others need our help. Listen to people and be friends with those people that are not godly, so that they see that we love them, whether they're, you know, Christian or not, but let us guide them to a life of Christianity. Lord, I just pray all these things. Thank you for so much for loving us, and I ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say something. You know that I've been reading through the Bible now 3 years in a row. Every year I read through the whole Bible. Last year I read through the whole Bible and twice through the New Testament. It's getting easier, you know, as you get along. And I said, John, I'm not going to read through the Bible this year. This year, I'm going to concentrate on memorizing certain portions of Scripture and meditating on the Word. And so I started with Psalm 91. Now, Psalm 91, it's 16 verses. It's a long psalm, but I got it. I got it. And as John was talking this morning, you know, and I think about the disciplines we're talking about, you know, prayer and meditation and fasting, that is to get into the secret place of the Most High. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're working on getting into the secret place. And Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, to be in somebody's shadow is you have to be very close to him.
Right.
Otherwise, you can't be in that shadow. And then, you know, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And then verse 3 says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You know, so many people say, okay, you know, God will protect me. He will protect you if you're in the secret place constantly.
Right.
You know, and that is for all of us. We better get in the secret place because difficult times are coming. And if you really want to have that right, I can almost say, for the protection of the Lord, is we better get into the secret place. That's just what